Let's begin this week with how far El Pasoans have to travel if they want to get to one of their U.S. senators' offices.
So, as people will recall from their 8th grade civics class, every state gets 2 U.S. senators. And in Texas right now, that's Ted Cruz and John Cornyn. Senators, in addition to having offices in Washington, will also have what are referred to as district offices spread around the state. I think, for example, both U.S. senators from New Mexico have district offices in Las Cruces. El Paso, which is the 6th largest city in Texas and the 22nd largest city in the country, has not had
a Senate district office since Phil Graham retired from the Senate in 2002.
So almost 20 years. And Molly Smith, one of our reporters, talked to Margie Velez, who was Phil Graham's district director here, and she talked about why it's important to have that kind of representation here. We tried to talk with both Senator Cornyn and Senator Cruz about why they've chosen not to have an office in El Paso, but neither of them would respond to the questions, nor would their staff. So, you know, it's just another way that El Paso is often overlooked by the rest of Texas, I think. The only city in the country larger than El Paso that doesn't have a Senate district office would be Washington, D.C., and that's because they don't have any senators in Washington. So, you know, we're the largest city in the country represented by senators that don't have district offices in our city.
Can you say how many offices those senators have elsewhere?
Yeah, so they've got, you know, each of them have 7 or 8 spread throughout Texas. The nearest district office for a Texas senator is an office that Senator Cornyn has in Lubbock, which is more than 300 miles away. Senator Cruz's nearest office to El Paso is in San Antonio, which is more than 500 miles away. So another way to look at it is that 2 New Mexico senators have district offices that are closer to El Paso than either of the Texas senators. I suspect the same thing is true of senators from Arizona.
Well, let's move on to the ongoing effort to see cross-border traffic resume and what we can do to get there.
So the border has been, you know, essentially shut down since the pandemic began in March of 2020. That shutdown has been renewed every month now for going on 16 or 17 months. And local business leaders and government leaders in border communities are really concerned about the economic toll that that's taking. One of the things that obviously has to happen before the governments feel comfortable opening the border is to have COVID under control on both sides of the border, which includes having a good portion of the population vaccinated. And while El Paso has had a fairly high rate of vaccinations, vaccines have not been nearly as available in Juarez. And so the county judge here in El Paso, Ricardo Samaniego, got the state to agree to provide some of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that was going unused in Texas so that the county could give it to workers at Juarez Maquiladoras. And so they're trying to begin to vaccinate 50,000 Maquiladora workers through this program with an eye toward July 21st, which is the next day for renewing the border closure. So they're hoping that the Biden administration will begin to back off of some of the border closure.
There's going to be a special session of the Texas legislature. I'm looking at the agenda. I don't see the power grid on it anywhere.
No, that problem's apparently fixed, I guess. So Governor Greg Abbott called a special session of the Texas legislature to convene this past Thursday. And at the top of the agenda are a bunch of issues that are really red meat for the Republican base. At the top of the list is steps to make voting more difficult in Texas. This plays along with a constant Republican theme that we've seen since the election that ties into President Trump's false claims that the election was stolen. And so you've seen all of these efforts to try to tighten up access to the ballot box. That'll be there. There'll also be border security issues, even though border security is a federal issue. Texas, over the last few years, has spent billions of dollars supposedly on border security initiatives. And then you have issues like transgender children and trying to force transgender children who want to participate in interscholastic sports to do so at the gender of their birth rather than their current gender identification. These are all very popular topics with
with many Republican voters, although not all of them really poll extremely well elsewhere in Texas. So it'll be interesting to watch this over the next couple of weeks.
All right. Well, Bob, thank you very much for the update. You can follow these stories and more at ElPasoMatters.org. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks so much. You too.